So our subject this evening is the faith of this gracious woman, Anna, and in particular, the remarkable example that she sets to us. And so you may be wondering, perhaps why I also read that short psalm, Psalm 134. It's a beautiful psalm, isn't it? Easy to overlook, given it's so short. And it's the last of the Song of Degrees, those pilgrim psalms that the pilgrims sang as they travelled to and from Jerusalem for those great festival days. But in that psalm 134, we have a simple but moving scene. It seems that the pilgrims are perhaps leaving before dawn. The whole of the holy city is fast asleep. Jerusalem is plunged in darkness. All is still and all is silent, apart from a small group of worshippers there in the temple by night, keeping watch, keeping the light of the Lord burning in the temple. And then it's as if the pilgrims cry out to those worshipping the Lord through the night, "Bless ye the Lord, ye who stand in the temple by night." And so you see, if we fast forward many centuries, we find that Anna here in Luke chapter 2 was one of those who served the Lord by night. We read that, don't we? In verse 37. She served God night and day in the temple. So my first point in thinking of Anna as an example to us, a gracious example, is this: that she served the Lord by night as well as by day. It was no doubt more difficult to serve the Lord in the temple by night. And it was no doubt more lonely to serve the Lord in the temple by night. And yet she was faithful to her calling, and she served the Lord by night and by day. If we had time tonight, there are a number of ways in which we might think of this beautiful expression of serving God by night. But perhaps just one thought. Because it seemed to me that this expression symbolised Anna's faithfulness in a dark generation. These, you know, were difficult and dark days for the Lord's ancient people. It seems that when the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, there was very little real religion left. How few came to his birth. God's ancient people have been waiting so many centuries for the promised Messiah. The open revelation of Scripture, the Hebrew Scriptures, seem to have ended many centuries before, and all seemed dark and all seemed silent. And yet there was Anna, alongside Simeon and a handful of others, faithful to the Lord in their generation, faithful to the Lord in the night. And you perhaps don't need me to open up the application of that to us today. You don't need me to tell you that there is great darkness in our society. We can truly say, can we not, that darkness covers the land, and gross darkness the people. And yet our call is the same as Anna's, and that is to be faithful to the Lord and to serve him in our generation, even if that means serving him by night as well as serving him by day. I've sometimes thought how wonderful it would have been to be called in days of revival, perhaps the 18th century revival, when George Whitefield was preaching to thousands. Would be wonderful sometimes, we think, to be worshipping in a period when people were queuing in to get through the door on a Sunday morning, or perhaps to have been there on the day of Pentecost, that day of great blessing. But you know, Scripture does not encourage us to think in that way. Scripture encourages us to think like this, that we've been called, and what a privilege it is if we have been called. We've been called to serve him faithfully in this day, in this generation, and for us, like Anna, to a considerable extent that means serving him by night. So firstly then, Anna served him by night as well as by day. My second point is this: she persevered. She kept pressing on. We read that she was an elderly person. We read, don't we, in verse 37, she was about 84 years. And some linguists think that means that she had been a widow for 84 years, and others think she was 84 years old. Either way, she was an older person, and she had lived as a widow for many, many decades. But she spent her time continually serving the Lord. I don't know whether you noticed as we read verse 37, she departed not from the temple. She departed not from the temple. There was a consistency in her behaviour. There was a consistency in her service of her Lord. I don't know whether you also noticed that she's one of the very, very few people in the New Testament where her tribe is mentioned. She's of the tribe of Asher, we read. Perhaps mentioned because, of course, most of the people serving in the temple would have been of the tribe of Levi, the Levites. But in meditating on this, I like to think it was perhaps for another reason too, thinking of this point of persevering. You know that the children of Asher had a particular promise given to them, the dying words of Moses himself. And this was the promise, wasn't it? "And of Asher," he said, "thy shoes shall be as iron and brass, and as thy days thy strength shall be." And what an appropriate word that was for Anna. And what an appropriate word it is for us, as we are called to serve the Lord day by day and night by night. And so if the way seems rough under our feet in this dark generation, we have the same promise that Anna had, that we have sturdy shoes of iron and brass as we walk along this rough pathway. And if in this dark generation we sometimes feel worn out by life or worn out by the witness in a difficult society, then the Lord has promised to us, as well as to Anna and as well as to the tribe of Asher, that we will have strength that is sufficient for each and for every day. So we have this example of Anna. Generally, our society, of course, holds up younger people as our examples, as our influences. But not so Scripture. Here we have godly Anna alongside godly Simeon, who persevered year after year in difficult circumstances when the promises seemed not to be fulfilled, and yet on they served. And so they are examples to us to press on. The Scripture uses various illustrations, doesn't it? To press on, to run the race, to keep fighting the good fight of faith. But just before leaving this second point, a word for you perhaps to just take home and think about. I don't have time tonight to open it up, but just before we leave this second point of persevering, a word that's been on my mind a little bit in the last few weeks, and it's this: the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turn back in the day of battle. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turn back in the day of battle. You'll find it in Psalm 78. But that could never be said. What was said of the children of Ephraim could never be said of Anna. And may it be our prayer that also it will never be said of those of us here at Hope Chapel, that we did not persevere and that we turned back in the day of battle. So first then, Anna served the Lord by night as well as by day. Secondly, she persevered. And then my third and last point is the most important of all, because it underpins the other two points. She was looking for the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And in this passage we read, she found him. For so many years, like others in that remnant, she was longing for the coming Messiah. But here, as we read in Luke chapter 2, she could say, like Philip did, didn't he? We have found him. We found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets spoke. And by faith she could see that this baby child was no ordinary infant. I don't know how you feel when you read these accounts, but it seems to me that Anna and Simeon showed some of the greatest faith that we see in the whole of the Word of God. She saw a baby in Simeon's arms, and she saw that he was the eternal Son of God. And she saw more than that too. I wonder whether you've ever thought, what does it mean that she was a prophetess? We read that, didn't we? She was a prophetess. Well, I think, among other things, it means this, that she saw with Simeon, we read it, didn't we, that the sword would pierce his soul. She saw by faith his sin-atoning sufferings on Calvary. And she saw, I'll perhaps have a conversation afterwards, Howard, if that's okay. Let me just finish my points. So she saw his sin-atoning sufferings, and she saw in him her salvation. So she could say with Simeon, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. So she looked forward. She saw this child, and by faith, however dimly, she looked forward to that time when he would die for her sins and the sins of all his people. And tonight we look back, don't we? We look back to that great day, the Day of Atonement. And we can say, surely, can we not, my soul looks back to see the burdens thou didst bear when hanging on that accursed tree, and hopes her guilt was there. So having looked for the promised Messiah for so many, many years, she coming in that instance, coming, we read in verse 38, she coming in that instant, saw him there, held by Simeon, no doubt heard the words that Simeon said. And we read that it had a double effect upon her. And a sight of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, applied by the Holy Spirit, will always have this double effect. We read she thanked God. She gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. What rejoicing and thanksgiving there must have been in her heart, and what rejoicing and thanksgiving there is in our heart when we see the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ by faith. And then we also go on, don't we, to read in that same verse, this is a very attractive phrase, she spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. I think of some of those other godly women in the Gospels. The woman of Samaria, who when she had spoken to the Lord Jesus Christ, she left her water pot and she said, come, see a man who told me all things that ever I did. And Mary Magdalene on the resurrection morning, so full of the love of Christ. And here Anna, who spoke of him to all that look for redemption. And sometimes with us it's like that, isn't it? That we've been silent for so long, and then we know something of the love of Christ in our hearts, and if we remain silent, the stones themselves would cry out. Well, as we come to prayer tonight, may we be praying for this amid all the hustle and bustle of this Christmas season, the busyness. May we have fresh views, as Anna did here, of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and what it meant for him to come into this dark and fallen world. And then through faith, by the indwelling of the Spirit of God, in obedience to him and according to his command, may we serve him in this dark world, even if it's serving him by night. And may we, like Anna, persevere. So whether we're young tonight or like Anna, older, may we be like those who we read about in the epistle to the Hebrews, who through faith and through patience inherit the promises. May the Lord add his blessing to those few thoughts on Anna as our gracious example.